Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now time for the 8:30 broadcast. This is truly a day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. You know, it's Christmas time, a wonderful time of the year, and God has set up the stage for us to realize that we needed a Savior, who the Savior is, and what the Savior can and will do in and out of our lives. I would like, first of all, to thank God for giving me this opportunity to come before you guys. And I thank each and every one of you who take the time and come listen week after week. I'm Diane Adams, your host, but this is our Wednesday night Bible study. I hope that you were prayerful. I hope that your week went well. I hope that you receive all of the blessings that God has in store for you. I just want you to know that Jesus is the reason for the season. And our subject tonight is going to be Jesus is the real deal. And it's coming from Matthew's, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Matthew's second chapter, verses 1 through 12. As always, I ask if anyone would like to pray. And if you press the 1 button on your phone, I can open a mic and you could go forward in prayer. If not, I'll go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again that you have ordained that we come together tonight to explore your word. Heavenly Father, I pray that the word come out and the Holy Ghost take it and give illumination and revelation. Heavenly Father, I realize after studying so long that all of your word is good. And I thank you for your word, dear God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for your Son, our Lord, Savior, and Master. Heavenly Father, we come to you, dear God, because we want to know more and more and more of you. Heavenly Father, you say if we seek you, you will be found. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you bless everyone that's on the line, dear God. Bless the ones that had intention to get on the line, dear God, but couldn't because of some reason. Lord, I ask that you bless their homes, their family, dear God, their finances, dear God, their mental state. I pray that you remove any pain and suffering that anyone may be feeling. Heavenly Father, I pray that you continue to lead and guide us into your intended purpose. Teach us, dear God, continue to circumcise our heart that we can follow you, dear God, in obedience and submission. Lord, we need you and we can't make it without you. Lord, thank you for being our present help in the time of any storm. Heavenly Father, you have been our bridge over troubled waters. Lord, when the enemy came, dear God, and tried to take us out, we may have stumbled, dear God, but with your help and strength, we was able to get up. Eyes haven't seen, dear God, and ears haven't heard what you have in store for your people. Your word said our latter will be better than our beginning. Lord, we have to trust you. We have to put all our faith in you. We have to stop compromising our spirit. And we have to go forth in the name of Jesus because there's no other name besides the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are your children and you are our Father. And Heavenly Father, we look for you for all that is necessary. Lord, and we're going to trust that you're truly working it out for our good. Heavenly Father, and that you will be with us and guide us and protect us through all, to all righteousness and all truth. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for letting us come to this almost the end of the year, dear God. Thank you, dear God, because everybody didn't make it. Heavenly Father, with that in mind, we know that we have a purpose and a job to do for your kingdom. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. I pray that I give glory to your name on tonight. I pray that the Holy Ghost have his way. I decrease and you increase, dear God, and give a word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. That's our prayer for tonight. And I'm going to play a song, and I think it's appropriate for the program tonight. And the song is called Mary, Did You Know? Listen and be blessed. I like to do background, and as I studied this week and try to search for background I had a lot of, I'm not going to call it roadblocks, but it brought me into places and made me get other thinking about everything that I was trying to write. You see, tradition that's built around Christmas has somehow dictated what we perceive as the message. Tradition, and even in our churches, we hear certain things over and over, but when you begin to research, you could find things that's different, is the best way I should say it. And I see that other callers has called in, so I want to let you know the title of the lesson is Jesus is the Real Deal. We coming from Matthew's the second chapter, the first through the 12th verse. What I'm saying is, as we get into the lesson, I want you to open your hearts and your mind to see what God was revealing to us about his son. I want you to see some of the messengers and the characters in this Christmas story, as we are told, but the Bible story and what it really means. And you're going to have to wonder what God was saying to us through this writing. So for the background, first of all, I want to talk about Mary. Mary, first of all, God chose Mary. And you have to remember that he chose before the foundation of the world. Now, when the scripture was prophesied about Jesus coming in the Old Testament, Isaiah and Micah and all of these Daniels, you know, God was given prophecy that Jesus would come. We know from last week's lesson in the third chapter of Genesis, when man fell, God gave the first prophecy that he would send someone to bruise, that their heel would be bruised, but they would strike the adversary head, which is Satan. He told us that as soon as man fell, he gave us a promise of a Savior, because we couldn't save ourselves. So all through the Old Testament, he prophesied about him coming, and they really had to catch it. It's not like us when the prophecy has been fulfilled. You know, we know Jesus was born. We know he went to, he taught and walked and healed the blind, as the word said. And we know he carried the cross and he was whipped all night long and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And we know that he was nailed to the cross and laid in the grave, and in 3 days he rose. We know that because the scripture tell us. But Jesus had not come back then. But God always gave him prophecy, and you had to catch it. So Mary, God chose. One thing, she had to be a virgin, so she met those qualifications. But what else do you know about Mary? We know she was very young when she married. Well, when she was, you know, given to Joseph in marriage, but that was common for those days. Some say she was between 12 and 14 years old. We knew she came from a Christian home. How much studying did she do? We don't know. But the point I'm saying is God chose her. Was Mary the only virgin in there at that time? Probably not. But God chose who he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for whatever he wants. And God gave her honor, because they said, Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed are thee, and blessed are the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And she'll have that honor all the way through eternity. And then we look at Joseph. When God prophesied that Jesus was coming, he said that he would come from the linkage and the line of David. You see, Mary's side was linked to David, but Joseph was an immediate ancestor of King David. So it was a double force of both of them being linked, and that Jesus would come through the linkage of David. You know, Joseph had a good heart. See, God knew that because God knew his master plan for Mary to be impregnated without having a man after being engaged to a man. It could cause death. But you see, when God chooses you for a job, he know you. He know your capabilities. He know your heart. They say, God, you can say anything you want with your mouth, but God searched the heart. See, God knew Joseph and what kind of man he was. So when he orchestrated Mary and Joseph, he knew exactly what he was doing. Joseph was a carpenter, and he wasn't a rich man, but he was a good man, and he was a righteous man. And now part of our lesson tonight is about the wise men. I don't know if you ever, and I'm going to explain more in the lesson, but I don't know if you sat down and thought about the wise men. I thought very much about them. Well, first of all, I want you to let you know that they say the Bible only says wise men. But we're going to get into the lesson, and we're going to have some food for thought. Some things we're going to have to accept that if it's not written in a word, then we don't know. But you could always you should always have some thoughts of what God was trying to do. So with that, we're going to go ahead into the lesson. We're going to start with we're in Matthew's, the second chapter. I'm going to read the first, the second, and the third verse. They say, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? The wise men came and they went to King Herod and they stopped there and they asked him, where is he born, the king of Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. First of all, looking at this, we see that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You know, Bethlehem was a very small town and not a popular town. And God elected for Jesus to be born there. You see, Bethlehem is a Hebrew word, and it means house of bread. It is also known as the city of David. You see, God kept prophesizing that he would be the son of David. Many times, Jesus in the Bible is called the son of David. God said that Jesus is going to come through the linkage of David. Bethlehem is called the city of David, and it's the house of bread. And you know, God gives us our daily bread. Scriptures tell us that Jesus is often called the son of David. And you might ask why. You see, the answer is that Jesus, the Messiah, was the fulfillment of the prophet of the seed of David. God had told him that your seed would be a king that will rule forever. You can find that in 7th chapter. You see, Jesus is the promised Messiah, which means he had to be from the lineage of David. You know, if you would have read Matthew's, the first chapter, you would have saw that the genealogy of Jesus proved that Jesus in his humanity was a direct descendant of Abraham and David. When I say humanity, just as a man, it will prove that he came directly from Abraham and David linkage. You see, he came through that through Joseph. And Joseph is Jesus' legal father. See, look at God connecting these dots. The genealogy in Luke traces Jesus' linkage through his mother. Mary is a descendant of David. Come on now. So Jesus is a descendant of David by adoption through Joseph and by bloodline through Mary. Here we see that Mary and Joseph was chosen for prophecy to be fulfilled, all a part of the plan of God, and we should watch it unfold to let us know that Jesus is the real deal. This lets us know that God has a plan for all of our lives, even if we never fully understand it. But you must be willing to be used. And a question I ask you tonight, can God use you for your intended purpose? You see, when we was born, all of us had an intended purpose, and we have to line ourselves up with the will of God and learn the word of God that we could get in position to receive the blessing of God and walk in our purpose. God has always and will always do his part. It's time for us to get it together, to receive all that God has for us. You see, then the next thing in the scripture talked about Herod the king. You see, Herod, known as Herod the Great, was the king in Jerusalem at that time. But I want you to know that he was cruel and unscrupulous. Because of hatred and ambition for power among families, and because of his consuming suspicion that someone might overthrow his throne, Herod executed one of his wives and his three oldest sons. I'm just giving you a glimpse at his character. You see, Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled when the wise men from the east came looking for Jesus. I believe they call them wise men because they had enough to be used and take whatever little information they had, got up, and went looking for Jesus. You see, Herod and all Jerusalem was upset because they knew the Jewish people was waiting for a Messiah to come. Now, the Jewish people was having all of this teaching and studying and scrolls and temples and synagogues. They read all of the prophecy because, remember, they strictly like to deal with the Old Testament. So the 12 prophecies in the Old Testament and all of the Old Testament points towards Jesus' birth, death, resurrection, and what he's going to do for his people. But yet they had three men from the east that sought a stall and came looking for Jesus. Now, I must tell you that the wise men, and they call it Magi, the reason for that is they were astrologers. So I know that stars would perk their interest more than some of the other prophets. I mean, some would perk their interest more than maybe the priests or the wise people that the king had around them. But these wise men came all the way from the east looking for Jesus. And they stopped by Herod because that was Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the place where you would think the religious leaders and everything would happen in Jerusalem. So they stopped there. And they asked the king, where is he that is born king of the Jews? You know, immediately the king could not stand for anyone to take part of his fame, his power, his allegiance from the people. And he was determined he would stop them at any cost. That's the scripture. You see, the wise men was also called Messias, who was astrologers who studied the stars. They traveled thousands of miles to see the king of Jews. We say three wise men, but the Bible doesn't. No way gives us a number. But tradition always said three wise men. And I think they, well, the way why they really say three, because there were three gifts. So they figured it was three men. But I'm telling you, you could search the Bible and it never says three. We know that they were wise and it was from the east. Now, with a lot of studying I did, and I pray we could get into it some more. If you study, even if you don't do it on a line, you give me a call later. Some suggest that the wise men, first of all, were Gentiles. Some say they was from the Muslim race, from where they came from. All three of them might have didn't come from the same place. They might have was doing research. They got together. The Bible doesn't say. But that's what the theologian said. And if you go back to the Hebrew Bible and things like that, you know, they have commentaries that say that. So I'm telling you what the Bible don't say, but I'm giving you food for thought. We know they was wise because they came looking for Jesus. We don't have to debate that. Plus, the Bible called them wise men, and we knew they was from the east. It doesn't state that they were Jews, so we have, they, you know, they may have been Gentiles. And I say some suggest they was from Muslims. The important fact is that we know they went looking for Jesus, and I believe, and they believed that he was the king of Jews. They didn't say, they asked the king, where is he born, the king of Jews? They had them, they had got it. They were wise. And the reference to the title indicated that he was the Messiah and will be the savior of the people. The wise men. I'm not sure, but after pondering and going to the Holy Ghost, you know, when I saw all of the different commentaries and they say where they could have been from and that they could have been Gentiles, I didn't tell you that it's in the Bible, I'm just speaking now, that, you know, God wanted the announcement of his son being born, which was the fulfillment of the prophecy, and he wanted it to go all over. So you see, when them wise men, you know, came and they saw Jesus, they went back, they had joy, and they went back telling a story. You see, and then we see they had that Jesus went back to Jerusalem. We see he was born in Bethlehem. That's getting the message across, like in the book of Acts when all of them came to the place. And you got to remember why Joseph and Mary was in Bethlehem, because it was a time that all Jews, no matter where you were living, had to come in this place. So you see, when his birth happened in Bethlehem, they had Jews from all around the world there. God do things like that. When Jesus rode into to town, to Jerusalem on a donkey, it was a feast where all of the Muslims, all of the Jews was required to be in town, and they saw. See, God set things up, and that's the same way he's setting things up in our lives, but we got to catch it. We got to catch it. And if that was some of them was Gentiles, if one of them was Gentiles, or if they came from the Muslim race, God at that time and the wise men came, and if they wasn't Jews and they received to come and bow down before Jesus, they knew that Jesus would be king for mankind, that the door would be open, and that they would be accepted. And if we look at the first verse, they say, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. You see, what he did, he got all his people together, and he asked them the question. And they said unto him, they went got the scribes, they had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you know, they start reading the scrolls, they was doing their homework, and this is what they came up with. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. They even gave him the background. You know how sometimes you tell somebody something's in the Word of God and they ask you where you got it from or can you give it to them? That's what they did. After they told it to him, they gave it to him in the writing of the Word of God. You see, and when Herod, when he had privy, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, questioned them over and over, what time did the star appear? Now, there's a lot of controversy behind when the star appeared. I think we would always just assume and maybe believe that the star appeared when Jesus was born. And some believe that it could appear before that so it could get the wise men to the manger for when he would be born. Research for yourself, speak to the Holy Spirit, and let God give you the answers. If there's anything, you know, everything in the Bible we're not going to understand. And God gives us illumination and revelation within his time. But we must study so we can be intelligently, that we can be intelligent about the things of God. That's why the scriptures say, study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide the truth, the word of truth. And he says, study as a workman. A workman is someone who is diligent in what they do. They are skilled in their craft. You know, an atheist will almost wear you out, and a Jehovah's Witnesses will make you almost change your religion. And we as Christians got to get the same mold, get in the same mold about the things of God and the word of God. You see, Herod wanted answers, and he called his biggest and his best and demanded them to tell him where Christ would be born and who he would be. You know, they got together and used the scriptures of the prophets to find out where Jesus would be born. You see, they used a scripture in Micah, the prophet, Micah 5 and 2. They say, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. What they're saying, you know, Bethlehem is a little place. It ain't got nothing going on. It's the least in most of the places. But yet God decided to let his son be born in Bethlehem. What's this telling us? God don't have to put on no show for nobody. You know, plenty of times in our lives and people in their lives, they're always doing something to impress somebody. But when the rubber meets the road, it has no purpose. It has no profit. All you did was did all of the work to try to do it. And when you do it, what then? You see, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the rest of the scripture says, who's going forth have been from the old, from everlasting. You know, and for to tell him who Jesus was, they probably used Isaiah 9 and 6. And it reads, Isaiah 9 and 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They probably used that to explain who he would be. You see, then Herod believed that the wise men were saying what they were saying, so he questioned them, and he kept pondering them. He kept pondering and asking them, when did the star first appear? you know, when people trying to get information for us, it's sometimes they trying to build a case, a used information for what they doing. You know, he wasn't concerned about Jesus as the king. He wanted to know, to calculate time so he could do something about it and he could stop him at any cost. You see, this is where Herod got the idea to kill all males 2 years and under and trying to stop the arrival of the newborn king. The wise men saw the stars in the east and traveled thousands of miles to get to Bethlehem so they could see, so they could see. Now, if the star, which I believe, that's why they call it the Star of Bethlehem. They call it the Star of God. And you got to remember that all of this was like miracles. And all of this was kind of unbelievable. But all of it was a part of God's master plan before the foundation of the world. And he had prophesied it, and a prophecy is being fulfilled, and God's plan is unfolding. So if the star rose in the east when Jesus was born, and it was thousands of miles away from Bethlehem, how could the wise men possibly be in a stable? Because they had to travel. Now, I ain't found in the Bible when the star first appeared. We always believe that it appeared to you know, signify the birth of Christ. But if the star appeared when Jesus was born, the wise men was in the east, which was thousands of miles away. They had to travel to get to Bethlehem. So you're going to read another scripture and see as it unfolds. You see, this is why we have to study for ourselves. And we have to know the truth for ourselves. And if I read the ninth and the tenth verse, and it says, he went then to Bethlehem. No, he sent them to Bethlehem. This is the king. After he realized that the scripture said that he would be born in Bethlehem, Herod is nervous, not just Herod, but all of Jerusalem. You know, it's reality, and it's happened even today when somebody thinks someone is coming on their watch, and they, because of jealousy and because of interior motives and because of all of these things and the spirits that's in them, they want to get rid of the one that they think is going to overshine them. It happens on our job. A new employee come in and they doing what you should do. And they doing it in a way that it should be done, and it is recognized. And now, you know, you want to, you know, you might do some things to get them fired. But I'm telling you, everything that happened now, that's why God said nothing can happen to you that is not common to man. You see, we see King Herod, Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago, and he was trying to stop him at any cost. And so what Herod did in the 8th verse, he said, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. For the young child, not the newborn baby, but for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. Now, the star had guided them all the way from the east, and they stopped in Jerusalem to talk to the king because they figured that they would know where the boy would be born. What that tell you? First of all, that's why I say, you know, the wise men may not have been Jews that had studied the scripture all of their life, because they knew, they would know what Micah said, they would have known what Isaiah said. You know, they would know what Daniel said. They would know all of these things that's listed in Habakkuk. You know, but they didn't know. If they did, they wouldn't have stopped to King Herod and asked him. And King Herod got his people, and he told them Bethlehem. He told them Bethlehem, and they went on, and he said, yeah, y'all go find that child and come back and tell me so I could praise him also. And they departed. Now, the star stopped when they got to the temple or wherever Herod was living. And when they came back, I imagine they walked out of there looking at the sky to see if the star was going to still guide them. And when they saw the star, they was glad. And lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them again. Come on now. Come on. Look at the hand of God. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, we see young child. We see Herod call him a young child. When they got there, they, you know, recognized that it was a young child. When they saw the star, they rejoiced and was exceedingly glad. You know, God sent the wise men on a mission. And we say and we read and we study all the time, if God gives us a job for you to do, he has already provided the provisions. Hallelujah. He gave them a star that led them everywhere they needed to go. He had them stopped by Herod, you know, for his reasons. Our understanding is not God's understanding. God's understanding is high as the sky, as the dew on the ground. But God will reveal himself to us through his word. You see, Herod told them, go and find a child and bring word back that I may come and worship him. You see, Herod was a liar. He didn't want to worship him, but to kill him. All of this was a divine plan. The wise men thought that Jerusalem would be the place. They stopped. The wise men went to the king and asked the question that they thought the king would be able to answer. And all the people in Jerusalem, as well as the king, he thought they would all be looking for the Messiah. But lo and behold, it wasn't. And that was not the case. You see, when they departed, the star reappeared, went before them, and led them to where the young child was, and they rejoiced. Understand that all of this was planned by God, letting everyone know that Jesus is the real deal. And if we look at 11 and 12, our last two verses, and it said, and when they had come to the house, where did the wise men go? They say, and when they had come to the house, hallelujah. For those who got your Bible or you read it after I posted, they say, when he had come to the house, they saw the young child with his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Now, look at this. They didn't say when they got to the manger. You see what's in the word of God, so this is no guessing in the game. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Hallelujah. You see, here we see that when Jesus Here we see that when the wise men found Jesus, he was a young child with his mother. And he was in a house, a rented house. You see, Joseph and Mary had came out of the stable, and at that time it began, they rented a house and he was living at the house. You know, some scholars believe that Jesus had to be between 1 and 2 years old. And some of them think that that even though the wise men wasn't at the manger, it was probably like 41 days after purification of Mary, because when a woman would have a child, because of the blood issue, they had to be purified by staying away from people because they was unclean for 41 days. You know, so some would say that they came 41 days. Some say they came sooner. Some people say that they say that they found Jesus in a house, because where they was in the stable of the barn, it was like the thing that you have under your house. I can't think of the word. But they were saying it was like that. So when they found him at the house, that there was a house on top of that, and where they was in a stable was under that. But the Bible says that they found him in a rented house, in a house. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. You see, Jesus was with his mother. So if he met him in the manger, in the stable, where was Joseph? Or where were the shepherds? You see, Mary and Joseph had moved into a rented house. When they finally found him, they responded with joy, worshiped him, and gave him gifts. And you see, did you ever wonder why those were the particular gifts? Well, I'm going to give you a little bit because time don't allow it, but they have a lot of, you know, emphasis behind it. You see, the gifts symbolize Christ's identity and his mission. You see, gold was for the king. You see, incense was always born in the temples for God. And myrrh was used. It was an ointment that they used on the dead. Hallelujah. Gold for the king. Incense that they burn in the temple all the time to God. And myrrh used to anoint the dead. It was used for embalming, and it was used for body preparations to be buried. That's amazing. And another reason, all of these things was valuable. And I don't know if you finished the whole second chapter, but God came to Joseph in a green dream and told him to go to Egypt, because it was good for him to go there then. And Joseph picked up and left. Now, we know that Joseph was a carpenter, and Joseph was out of work because, you know, when you have to, you know, he went to Bethlehem and he got stuck there. Well, he got divine intervention and stopped there. I don't want to say stuck, because it was all part of God playing. When they went there to pay their tax or to do the census, and Mary had the baby. So that means Joseph ain't working, and we knew he was, you know, a man of a modest income anyway. So look at God. The wise men came, they present him with these expensive things that they could get some money. And when God told them to go to Egypt, they didn't have to say, how could I? You know, we're not financially fixed. God had provided the provisions. Hallelujah. They heard, and then they, you know, when we think of the wise men, you know, they're wise because, you know, they heard, then they believed, and then they went to see for themselves. How many times people come in church on Sunday, hear the word of God, and hear the word of God, and yet maybe not believe, and might believe, but just don't try to seek him for themselves. You know, there's a lot of people who know of God, but just, you know, it's important for us to know God. You see, the wise men believed totally that Jesus was the King of the Jews and worship him for who he was and not for what he could do for them. They worship him because they knew that he deserved all honor and glory. Now look at these wise men from the East. Come on now, different country. Not learning and being studying under the word of God, and yet look how they took hold of it and look what they did with it when they got it. And so many of us have so much of God, so much of the word, so much of studying, and we still don't know how to walk in our newness that God has given us through his son's death and resurrection. The Bible says we are new creatures, but we, some of us, just walk in our old life. Not all the time, but sometimes. And I guess that's a part of being human. You see, they wanted to honor him, not for what he could do for them, but because of who he was. This is so different from the approach people often take today. We expect God to come looking for us, to explain himself, prove who he is, and then turn around and give us gifts. If we are wise as the wise men, we will see God not for what we can get, but because of who he is. You see, our life is a gift from God, and what we do with it is a gift to God. Christmas is Christ's birthday, and it's amazing how we give gifts to each other. But you know, Jesus said, I'm all right with that, because I own everything anyway. He said, if you don't believe me, check out Psalms 24:1. And it says, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You see, God is not concerned with material gifts. He's only concerned about you. By being obedient to the word of God, realizing who he truly is, and loving one another is the best gift we could ever give. You see, we have to give him our time, our talent, and our resources. God gave gave us grace. That was God's riches at Christ's expense. Come on now. That was God's greatest riches at Christ's expense. And Jesus laid down for the sinner. Thank God for letting Jesus be born in Bethlehem. But you must give him your time and your resources. You see, our service, catch this now, our service is a way of paying rent on earth for the space we occupy. So as I close tonight, I want you to know that Jesus is the real deal. Remember, we believe and we trust this, and we have faith. Remember, it's all by faith, because Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The wise men walked out on faith. They hadn't seen it. They went to see it. That's why we have to hold on to the confession of our faith. You see, if we truly knew it all, we wouldn't need faith. We don't know that much about the wise men, but we know that they was wise because they believed, moved on faith, and went looking for the King of the Jews with joy and ready to bow down and worship him. With all the facts that God has given us in his word, are you ready to be wise? Can you just bow down and worship him? Because I come to tell you tonight, he's the real deal. Now, since we explored those scriptures like that, what's amazing to me is that God didn't tell us when the star appeared. He didn't tell us how old a boy was. He didn't tell us how long the wise men took to get that. He didn't tell us any of this because God does not want us to focus on the messengers, but the message. He placed him in Bethlehem, low key. When he was born, the angels went to the shepherds, who was sort of like the low class in that town. They gave the announcement to the shepherds to come and see. They didn't go get the king. Low key. So tonight I tell you, what all God has given us is enough. And we have to study and show ourselves approved. And don't take time and put so much concentration on the messenger, but receive the message. Jesus is the real deal. And that's our lesson for tonight. And the line has lit up. And it's a caller. Your number is 504-715. Your mic is now open. You can talk and everyone can hear.
Okay. You hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. I was calling to just speak a blessing on everybody. I've been listening to those over the weeks that's been going through something, and I thought about the song, Sometimes You Have to Encourage Yourself. So I'm just encouraging everybody to start speaking help over themselves, because God said, beloved above all, I would that thou wouldst prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. So as our soul prospers in the Lord, He expects us to be in good health. And that's all I have to say tonight.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria. So if anyone would else like to say something, you know, we're fixing to end the year. Well, we have one more week, and we've been coming together week after week, you know, for a solid year. And some of you guys haven't left. But since Jesus is the reason for the season, I want to let you know that. And I would like to say Merry Christmas to each and every one of you, because by the time we come back next week, we'll be looking forward to New Year's. But I want you to keep Christ in your Christmas. And remember, He is the reason for the season, and He is the real deal. And we have to thank God for His Son. Thank God for Him allowing Himself to be wrapped up in flesh to save and to take away our sins, that we could become not guilty. And that's love. Jesus is pure love, and that's the way we should be. That's what God talks about when He asks us to take on the image of His Son. If there's anybody else who would like to make a comment, we still have a little time. You may press the one button. If someone would like to pray or sing a song, you could press the one button. If nobody would like to do nothing, I have another Christmas song that I'm going to play at this time. And after this, I'll do the benediction, and we'll leave out Merry Christmas to everybody. And God loves you, and so do I.
Yeah.
Your number is 504-237. Your mic is open. Call a five. Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for a wonderful year, and I made it through this for the Lord. I want to thank you, Miss Diane, for all the prayer that you gave me and all the help that you gave me in trying to learn about the Bible and stuff. I just want to say thank you for your grandson, which is my sweet little friend, and thank you for all the proud friends that we'd have. I just want to say thank you for seeing this much of the year, and I hope the Lord let me see many, many more, and Happy New Year to everyone. Thank
and
you.
Happy New Year to you. This is Sister Cynthia?
No, this is Miss Sandra.
This Sandra. Okay, Sandra. I love you, and thank
you
for
you
making
too,
the comment, and I hope to see you real soon.
Yes. Thank you, too. And tell Mason I say hello and Happy New Year to him.
I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in. I have another caller. Your number's showing up, 111-111. Your mic is open, and you could speak at this time. Caller, your number is 111. That's the way it's showing up, 111. 1111. Would you like to make a comment? Or maybe it was pressed in error. Caller, your number 111111. Okay, that may have been an error. But again, I would like to thank each and every one of you for calling in, and I pray that you come on next week as we close another year out. And I want you to know that we have been on the air and coming together. February will make 3 years. So I just want to say thank you guys for keep calling. God bless each and every one of you and the blessings that you're in need of. Remember the ones we are praying for. Sister Diane McBride had her surgery. Let's pray that she get a speedy recovery. Cynthia Sanders is still taking her treatments. Ask that she be strengthened. We have to keep lifting up everyone in prayer. Pray for my son and pray for my grandson and my daughter as well, please. Pray for one another family. We come together every Wednesday on this line. We have formulated a little family, but we have to act like it. We are already family members because we all belong to the body of Christ. So let's pray for one another and pray for God to give us new revelation and new information as we continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. So right now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just go, another caller. Caller, your number is 89166. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Diane.
Good evening, Sister Pauline.
I just want you to pray for me and my family. And you had me in the prison. Anybody had me in the prison.
Thank you so much for calling in, Sister Pauline. When we do our prayers, you know, we have Cynthia Sanders, Diane McBride, and now we got our sister who call in religiously, I believe, for the whole 3 years. I don't even know if she ever missed. And she asking for prayer for her and her family. And her name is Pauline Scott. So we got to be prayerful for that. Is there anyone else would like to say something? I'm going to go ahead and close us out with prayer. If someone would like to pray. Illyria, since you pressed the one button before, I know you can't press it again. But I'm going to open your mic, and I'm just asking that you give us a prayer.
Okay.
Thank you. I know you're a warrior, so, you know, some people, I wouldn't do that to anybody, you know, but I know you. So.
Okay. God, we just come to give you praise, honor, and glory. God, I lift up all my sisters in Christ, my brethren, asking that you would encourage their hearts, those that need a healing, that you would heal, God. Because I know that exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, and it's according to the power that worketh in us. You are our El Shaddai. You are our healer, oh God. You are our provider. You are our all in all. God, we ask that you would touch everyone that's on the airwaves, Lord, that you would send a blessing through the airwaves. We are blessed and highly favored of God. We are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. God, we are a chosen vessel. We are royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we will show forth the praises of you because you call us out of darkness into your marvelous light. God, I ask that you would touch everyone that called in on the radio ministry, Lord God, that you would touch those that want to call and haven't been able to call. God, that you would encourage us this year as we go into a new year, Lord, and that we would be in increase in health because you said, your word says, that you would, that we would prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. And your word said, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things shall be added unto us. And we ask everything in Jesus' name. And we pray amen and glory to the Son of God came to deliver us and set us free. Amen. Glory.
Thank you so much, Minister Illyria. Illyria Mackey from Boothville, Louisiana. That's the lady who be singing for us, and she's a minister. So I know she would accept the invitation to lead us in prayer. Well, that's our program for tonight, and I'll just leave you with this. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas to everybody, and I pray that God's blessings be upon you. God loves you, and so do I. And that's our program for tonight. I pray that we meet together. And it would be the last time in this year. And God's going to have a message for us. And I pray that we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. So to everyone, good night and be blessed. Good night.